In the morning service in Sunday school, we took care of the first few verses, and then we want to take care of the rest. Now, last week, if you were at home and you saw me on video, I was just ablaze. Frank was so kind to say I was an angel of light. Wasn't that a blessing? But, I mean, you couldn't see anything but light. Amen. But anyway, I want to be able to move around a little bit, so I'm going to move my notes over here in just a few minutes. I don't want to get caught up in the sunshine. Amen. So let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask God to bless our time and to lead us. Father, thank you so much for the privilege we have to be here this afternoon. We ask for your grace and your goodness to us. And Father, we pray for the power of the Holy Spirit to be upon all our lives. And I pray you fill me with thy Spirit and help me to do your will. I pray I can be a blessing to this church and that you'd help us to do your will for our lives in this hour. We ask this in all in Jesus' name. Amen. Notice, if you would, 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 5, and we'll read down in verse 12. Now, I will come unto you when I shall pass through Macedonia, for I do pass through Macedonia, and it may be that I will abide a winter with you, and you shall bring me on the journey whithersoever I go. For I will not see you now, by the way, but I trust to tarry a while with you, if the Lord permit. But I will tarry at Ephesus until Pentecost, and a great door and effectual will open unto me, and there are many adversaries. Notice verse 10. Now if Timotheus come and see, he may be with you without fear, for he worketh the work of the Lord, as do I. Let no man therefore despise him, but conduct him forth in peace, that he may be come unto me, for I look for him with the brethren. As touching our brother Apollos, I greatly desire him to come unto you with the brethren, but he will. But his will was not to, at all to come at this time, but it will come when he shall have convenient time. Thank you. You may be seated. Now, Paul is closing out the first epistle to the church at Corinth. In chapter 16, he primarily instructs the church about the work of the Lord. In 1 Corinthians 15:58, Paul says this, he was abounding in the work of the Lord. And here in chapter 16 and verse 10, Paul says, now if Timotheus comes, see that he may be with you without fear, for he worketh the work of the Lord, as do I. So the idea is the work of the Lord can be broken down to evangelizing and edifying. And this is really the testimony of Christ's ministry. In Luke 19:10, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. In Acts chapter 1, verse 2, until the day in which, taken up after that, he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen. So evangelism and edification is seen in the Great Commission. In 1 Corinthians 15:58. Paul states that our labor is not in vain in the Lord. Now, labor speaks of toil. And it's very important to understand that the work of the Lord is an exhausting way to live your life. It's toil. It's just not business or activity, but sacrifice. Toil, which worries and weakens along the way. This type of labor is not in vain. It's not empty, useless, or unproductive. Spiritual labor produces a spiritual fruit, and biblical labor produces biblical fruit. Again, this must be done according to the biblical blueprint. It is not in vain. And so in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5, and if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned except he strive lawfully. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 28, wherefore we receive a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace, whereby we may serve God acceptably See, it's not just serving God. It's serving God acceptably, according to God's will, according to the Word of God, with reverence and godly fear. In Romans chapter 12, verse 1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Now, this is exactly the avenue that Paul addresses in this portion of Scripture. And the first thing we see is, number one, is foresight in the work of the Lord. Now, notice verse 5, if you would, verse 5. And the Bible says, now I will come unto you, but I shall pass through Macedonia, for I do pass through Macedonia. So Paul's ending his stay at Ephesus, where he wrote the first epistle to the church at Corinth, and probably planned to follow Timotheus' delivery of the epistle. Now, the apostle was heading towards Macedonia and probably planned on visiting to and from Macedonia. His plan changed, but he had plans for the change. In other words, you know, we live our lives according to what God's Word says, but changes come. Maybe there's an appointment that falls through, or maybe there's a plan to, get out of town, and it doesn't happen when you're going through this, and so on. Plans change, but the idea is we should always be thinking about the Lord's return and the Lord's leadership, and the Lord's guidance. So when Paul was laboring in evangelism and edification in Ephesus, he was praying and planning for the work in Macedonia, Corinth, and at Jerusalem. And this is the way we ought to live our lives spiritually and physically, having goals, making plans, planning our work and working on plans. I mean, this is what the Bible teaches. In the book of Nehemiah, when went before King Artaxerxes for permission to go to Jerusalem, he had a plan in mind. Nehemiah had prayed earnestly before God for a spiritual and physical restoration of Jerusalem. It wasn't just, you know, I'm going to go to Jerusalem today. It didn't work that way. He was a servant of King Artaxerxes, and he had a plan to go before the king. Now, the king could have told him, you know what, you're done, kill him. And that's the power the kings had. That's the power they had. But his prayers worked, and when Artaxerxes granted his first request, Nehemiah made additional requests for other material which would be needed long to be for the before he left for Persia, from Persia for Jerusalem. William Carey, the famous missionary in India, while working as a cobbler in England, placed a map of the world in front of his workbench. So the idea, he had a vision in mind. There was something that God wanted to get done, and he was working in William Carey's heart. And while working, he would pray all the time, weeping at times, for the need that needed to be developed and worked. And he faithfully beseeched the Lord of harvest to call men and to do a great work. And it wasn't long before Carey wound up being called to the mission field of India. Now, God used him greatly because he had prayed, he had planned, and he prepared. So the opportunity arose, and he was ready. And you see, the idea, beloved, is, again, foresight in the work of the Lord. It's not just today. It's not just Sunday. I have to tell you, I don't plan like some preachers I know of. They plan the whole year out. I'm not that spiritual. I'm not. But and I don't know if they are. But the thing is this. The work of the Lord must be worked out, must be planned. I'm thinking about my sermon on Wednesday. I'm thinking about next week. Do I preach on Judas Iscariot? Do I preach on the Lord's Supper? I'm trying to work these things out. I'm making plans for the new year and what I'm going to be preaching on. I want to have foresight. It's just not in the moment, at the day. It's beyond that. And meanwhile, we have the care of all the churches and the burdens that we experience for our foreign missionaries, for other men have gone out of our church, and for all our missionaries. So there's not only foresight in the work of the Lord, but there's flexibility. in the work of the Lord. Notice verse 6. The Bible says, it may be that I will abide, yea, and winter with you, that you may bring me on my journey with us wherever I go. So Paul had made his plans, yet know that they could possibly be modified. There's flexibility with Paul. He may be sensitive to the Holy Spirit in thinking this was God's will, but maybe it's not God's will. Maybe it's a little further down a road. Maybe God's will is for something else. And this is why it's always a principle to be quick to submit in James chapter 4, verse 15, for that you ought to pray, if the Lord will, we shall live, do this, do that. Not just say ritualistically, Lord willing, if the Lord wills, but rather have a life of following the Lord's will and submitting to God's will and realize that things can change. Things can take place. People can be here today and healthy as a horse and wind up in the hospital tomorrow. I mean, plans change. We must make plans. We must set goals, have direction, and yet be willing to follow the Lord as he changes our directions. So, you know the story about Paul and his call to head east? Paul was, not his call to head west, but Paul's plan was to head east. He wanted to head to Asia. And in verse 7, he planned to go to Bithynia, northeast. And Paul designed and planned to go to the region of Asia and was willing to be flexible, led by God's Holy Spirit. And so that's important to understand. And God called, he got the Macedonian call, and he submitted himself and yielded himself. But you've got to understand, Paul was always seeking to do God's will. And even if he didn't have a down pat at that moment, he was going to get a down pat. He wanted to do the will of God, but you can't argue with Paul. He had a burden for souls, a burden for the lost. Now, in 1 Corinthians 16:6, it may be that I abide, yea, and winter with you, that may bring me on my journey with us to where I go. So wherever Paul was planning to plant churches, Corinth was to support him, equip him, encourage him, pray for him, that he would do the will of God for his life. And that's very important, beloved, that we pray for missionaries. Do you pray for your missionaries? That's an important question. You pray for Brother George Hammett, George Wyatt. Do you pray for Scott Kuzel, Gary Norberg? Are you praying for James Wyatt? These five are in South Africa. And then Botswana, there's Gary Kastner and also the Moore family. And then in Czech Republic, I'm sorry. This is awkward. And in the Czech Republic, there's John Reddick. You know, John just went through losing some church members over there. And if you and I were praying like we should be, you know, we can intercede for him. It's a hard place. And then Scott Poling being in Germany. Do you pray for Jim Mayles in Canada? Do you pray for Dave Dennis in Western North Dakota? Do you pray for Milton Martin? These are people that we ought to bring before God every day and intercede for them and bring their requests before God. That's why when Brother Frank stands up here, we ought to, you know, take notice either mentally or on a pen and paper and write their names down and write their requests down. Now notice verse 7 and 8, we see the full work in the work of the Lord, verse 7. For I will not see you now by the way, but I trust to tarry a while with you, if the Lord permit. But I will tarry at Ephesus until Pentecost. Now, doing the work of the Lord involves a full work throughout the work. In other words, we cannot be slipshod with the attitude of, you know, just getting by. Just, you know, the work of the Lord must be done decently and in order. Do what you have to do to get by. I mean, that's the slipshod way, but the apostles' attitude in the work of the Lord was quite different. In Colossians 3, verse 23, and whatsoever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord, not unto men. Ecclesiastes 9:10, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with all thy might. Notice 1 Corinthians 6, if you would. Let's go back a few pages. 1 Corinthians 6. And notice verse 19, please. And the Bible says, what? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you're not your own, for you are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. So the idea is, in verse chapter 10, verse 31, the idea is that, you know, we ought to put our thoughts together and consider what is the work of God. Verse 31, whatsoever therefore you should eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do it to the glory of God. So Colossians 3, verse 17, whatsoever you do in word and deed, do all to the glory of God. So the idea is that, you know, whatever you do, do it right. Do it for God's glory. Do it under the leadership of the Lord. Do it with God's help. In Romans chapter 13, verse 14, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. So Paul's attitude was right in what he wanted to do, and his actions were right. Colossians 1, verse 28, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Now notice Paul says here, what does he do? I'm preaching a warning every man and teaching every man. What does that mean, you think? It means every man. And Paul was concerned about all men everywhere. God's not a Calvinist, amen? It's all men. And so, and then verse 29, wherefore, whereunto I also labor, striving together to his working, which worketh in me mightily. And then in 1 Thessalonians 3, verse 10, night and day praying exceedingly that we might see your face and might perfect that which is lacking in your faith. So the importance of Paul, there are times of great seasons of prayer. Now we're going to start the new year off in prayer. And we're going to pray for, I think it's 9 days or something like that. And we're asking the Lord for his blessing upon 2019. And God's will be done. So we always start off the year in prayer, seeking God, seeking his wisdom, seeking his help, seeking his power. And those prayer meetings are invaluable as we pray for the unsaved. In Acts chapter 20, verse 27, for I'm not shunned to declare unto you the whole counsel of God. Verse 31, therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn every one night and day with tears. Now Paul was thorough in his work for the Lord. He had the attitude, he decided, I'm going to do my best, and I'm going to do my best for the king, so that others may see Christ in me. And that was Paul's attitude. He wanted to have Christ seen in him. He wanted to glorify the Lord. And Paul was thorough in his work for the Lord in his actions. And we're going to give responsibility, whether great or small, we ought to do it unto the Lord. And that's why in everything, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with all your might. In Sunday school, there ought to be preparation and thoughtfulness. In the children's church, preparation, enthusiasm, example, and Christ-likeness. Ushering, helping folks out, serving Christ. In the music, for God's glory, preparation and a good attitude. And witnessing, doing God's will, being a good testimony, speaking the truth in love. Now, you know, you think about representing, the church, and whatever you do and whatever you're doing, do it to God's glory, and do it for the glory of God in all these things. Now, does your life give off a bright light of God's saving grace? I have to tell you, beloved, and I want to say this in all humility, but You know, when I stand up here on Sunday mornings and I'm preaching, it's not, you know, like, oh, I'm going to put on an act. I mean that with all my heart. I mean that people are lost and people need to be saved and people need to come to Christ and people need to believe on the Lord. People need to yield themselves. They need to surrender. I believe that with all my heart. It's not some kind of a gig that I have. It's what I believe in what the God says. And I take the Word of God seriously. And that's what we should do. All of us should do it. All of us should, you know, take God's Word seriously about, you know, His will for our lives. Now, let's consider a few other things. The foresight in the work of the Lord, the flexibility in the work of the Lord, full work in the work of the Lord, and then foes in the work of the Lord. Now, notice, if you would, verse 7 of chapter 16, chapter 7, verse 7, rather, chapter 16, for I will not see you now by the way, but I trust to tarry a while with you, and the Lord permits, but I will tarry at Ephesus until Pentecost. Now, they were foes in the work of the Lord. I'm so sorry. I don't mean to turn my back on you, but I'm a little awkward right now. G. Campbell Morgan said, if you have no opposition in your place you serve, you're serving the wrong place. And there's going to be opposition. There's going to be opposition from without, and there's going to be opposition from within. And in 2 Timothy 3:12, yea, and all they that live godly shall suffer persecution. Verse 8, Paul was planning to stay on in Ephesus until Pentecost. Why? Because he went to have the opportunity to exercise evangelism and edification. This was very important. So Ephesus was a great system of organized idolatry centered in the famous temple of Diana of Artemis. And ritual prostitution and sexual perversion was not only tolerated, but were promised in the name of religion. In addition, there were certain Jews, they were exorcists, who went around claiming to cast out evil spirits in Jesus' name. And the city was full of occult practices of every sort. Paganism, idolatry, occultism, demonic influence, superstition, sexual vice, and problems, cultures, and religious animosity of pagans against Christians, Jews against Christians, and pagans and Jews against each other were all common and considered normal. Probably no New Testament church had a more direct opposition than this one at Ephesus. And yet in the New Testament, we're commanded for the diligent fight against false doctrine. For prophets like the false prophets that were against the church at Ephesus. And in spite of the adversary, there was a great effectual door of opportunity. And this is so important. Beloved, it doesn't matter. The issue is not persecution. It's not enemies. It's not problems within the church, outside the church. The issue is that God will open a great door of opportunity for us to reach people. Let me tell you this, beloved. This is a great time in our world's history to reach people the gospel. Now, it may be a little bit harder, a little bit more difficult. But one thing people know, they know the Lord's returning. They know there's something not right. There's something different, whether it's in the political terms or in, the one world is, the no borders. Something's not right. And I think people are far more reachable than ever before. And I think there's a great door of opportunity that is open for us. Now, anything spiritual, well, let me read this, Acts 19, verse 20. So mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. So the word of God grew, even though there was problems like no one's business in Ephesus. Now, anything spiritually is going to cost us. Opposition from the devil, the world, the flesh, and yet it is always worth it. And that's important for you and I to understand. So in the midst of opposition, we should be looking, as Paul did, for that effectual door open to us to do something great for God, for His church, and for His kingdom. Amen? And so we see the foresight, the flexibility, the full work, the foes, and then the faithful fellowship with the work of the Lord. Now, notice verse 10, if you would. We'll work our way through this chapter. Verse 10, the Bible says, "Now, if Timotheus come, see that he may be with you without fear, for he worketh the work of the Lord, as also I do." Verse 11, "Let no man therefore despise them, but conduct him forth in peace, that he may come unto me, for I look for him with the brethren. As touching our brother Apollos, I greatly desire him to come unto you with the brethren, but he was not at all to come at this time, but will come when he shall have a convenient time." And so there was the idea of faithful fellowship. And so Paul was a great man of God, yet he realized that all that he was by God's grace. And that's important to understand. Well, all of us are what we are by God's grace. And in his letter, he quickly pointed out his fellow helpers in the ministry. He points out Timothy. He points out Apollos. In verse 15, he mentions Stephanus' home. In verse 19, Aquila and Priscilla. And reading in the book of Acts, Paul and Barnabas, Barnabas and Silas, Paul and Aristarchus, and Paul and John Mark. Paul and Timothy. These are all different verses that Paul mentions his fellow workers, people he was in fellowship with. And in Romans 16, Paul recognized 35 different servants of the Lord. Now, many times people we overlook Paul's supporters, fellow helpers, laborers. Church is not just a man. I have great help around here, and I appreciate it. I really do. I appreciate all that. Everyone's doing something, and everyone has a part, and we're going to continue with that. Amen? It's just not me. I have the privilege of preaching and teaching the Word of God, but there's a lot of people who support this ministry, and I'm not talking about financially. I'm talking about spiritually, your prayers. You're teaching different classes. You're involved with Bible studies and helping people. And it's just tremendous. And I want to thank you for that. The church was started by a man, but it had support from, my wife, my children, my home church, and other churches. And it's been a hard, difficult labor for the Lord, but then people within the church. I want to do this today. I think this is apropos. If you work in these areas, please stand. I mean that. In Sunday school, please stand. In children's church, the ushers, stand up, Billy. Church office. Christian Academy, in witnessing. Do you witness for Christ? You don't? Okay. physical labor, building, planting, clean up in the church and so on. The choir. I can't see. Choir. So you see. See how important this is? This is just not me. It's everyone. And this is very important, and the church should be this way. Everyone's involved. Everyone has a part. Everyone's doing. Praise the Lord. Thank you. You may be seated. So faithful fellowship in the work of the Lord. Christ is the head of the church, and we're his body. We should all be standing up. We should all have a part. And yet the body is made up of many parts. And what is needed is faithful parts. So the work of the Lord has, we've seen, has been having a foresight, flexibility, a full work. There's going to be foes and a faithful fellowship. And thank the Lord for that. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord, for this time. And thank you, Lord, for the privilege we have to have a part in the Lord. And we pray, Father, for your leadership of your Spirit and your will in this invitation. Help us, Father, do more and live our lives with Jesus Christ. We pray this in his precious name. Amen. Heads of baptism.